that's for one of you in a moment. The invitation is that you come with a question, preferably a question that's perhaps arisen from your practice or from the Dharma or the Dharma talks or instructions, or it could be a question about a life issue. But please don't make it a theoretical question, but a question that's really important to you. The process of inquiry is very important in Dharma practice. Inquiry is one of the factors of awakening. And the way we apply the Dharma to our life is very important. So the inquiry practice that we do here together is sometimes rather revealing and quite interesting to many people. Those of you who are listening are participating with your presence and energy and respect and your attention, your kind attention, is very much part of the process and allows the inquiry to deepen. The intention is freedom and liberation from all, for all, or deeper understanding for each one of us. So it's an exploration, but always pointing to truth, always pointing to freeing up the heart and mind. At any time you may say thank you and leave, and at any time I may say thank you and you leave. There's a recording happening. If you wish for the recording to be turned off, just say so and I'll do so. If it is recorded, however, it could end up on the Tovana website or on my website if I ever find some technical genius who's willing to listen to all my inquiries. In between each inquiry, we'll have 2 or 3 minutes of silent sitting, and then I'll ring the bell and say, anyone please, and that is the time for somebody to come. So let's begin by sitting for a minute. Yes, please. Use that. Put it quite close to you.
Okay, it's open. Hi.
Okay. Hello.
Hi.
You could say your name, please, for
My
everybody.
My name is Na. It's about how to meet inside of me, because I meet these particular issues in these days.
Yes.
Sexual energy in my body.
Yes.
Memories of trauma.
Yes.
Memories of bad action that I was involved in, that I do.
Yes.
And forgiveness.
And?
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness. I think you've just answered your own question. So what have you understood so far about how to work with difficult feelings in the body or difficult memories? You've been practicing a little while now, so what have you understood?
I understand that everything there is a right time to be healing.
Yes.
And this is, there are memories of feeling that the body, the awareness can
contain.
Yes.
And sometimes they're not able to contain. And I focus just on the body, on the sensation of the simpliness.
Ah, beautiful, beautiful. This is exactly the way to work with difficult memories. So we feel the sensations in the body, and you simply wait until those sensations subside,
mm-hmm.
they end.
Mm-hmm.
So have you noticed that they actually end?
Yeah.
Yes, okay.
Yeah.
So when they end, what do you discover?
The world is the same.
Yes. Meaning? Meaning the world is wonderful or the world is horrible?
Not this and not that.
Okay.
About the trauma,
yes.
About the memories of the trauma,
yes.
It's past, the memory is past, and I feel like more and more safety of the processing of the Dharma way.
Yes.
Yeah, I feel safe.
Beautiful.
My body feels that it can just sit with pain.
Oh.
But.
But? Okay, I was waiting for the but.
Yeah.
So, just to recap for people, when we have a very difficult event in the past, which almost everybody in this room will have, there's some kind of trauma, there's some kind of pain that's difficult to be with. The memory from the past comes now, in the present. And with the memory comes all manner of sensations in the body, some of which can feel quite overwhelming. And it's quite difficult at times to be very steady with that. But the practice is, as you've said, one of being with the sensations, no matter how uncomfortable they are. And just letting them be. Letting those sensations be until they subside, until they end. Go on.
I will say something more that I discovered that is very useful to talk.
Yes.
In some situation.
Yes.
But I discovered in the Dharma, this is why I love it so much.
Yes.
Not with attachment about the teacher and who is the teacher, is about the wisdom and the compassion in the Dharma.
Yes.
And it's not so personal to just with someone who, you know.
Yes.
The difficulty is about the meeting of another person.
Ah, yes.
Because right now I'm like learning my body, my sensation, my memories, my view, and
yes.
And it's changing on this practice. It's
yes.
Like changing every sitting is like changing. But you talk about natural, not pleasant.
Pleasant and unpleasant
feeling tone. And it feels like when the sexual energy becoming
mm-hmm.
the body,
yes,
it feels like it's out of limit. I cannot be there. It's not welcome.
Okay. So the sexual energy is a very normal energy in the body. And of course, on retreat, we're asked not to impose our sexual energy on another. But I don't think that's what you're talking about. You're speaking about trauma from the past, which in fact gives you very kind of mixed sexual energy. So while sometimes when there's been some kind of violation in the past, the messages of what should be a pleasant experience are paired with the unpleasant. And so it makes relationship very difficult sometimes. It's very difficult to have a very close, intimate relationship and a sexual relationship, which is a totally natural and fine relationship, because of the imposition of the memories from the past.
Yeah.
And the Dharma method of dealing with this is just as you said, but it will take some courage, and we need to see clearly that, just as you said, you are safe here now. There is a safety in how you are at present. What happens, of course, when we meet someone and we start feeling the attraction is that, again, the memory from the past comes with the kind of mixed message. And so it becomes rather difficult sometimes to have a clear and open and loving relationship. And the person we are with has not done anything to us that's harmful, has no intention of doing that, and yet there's fear.
What to do in
yeah.
situations?
What to do? Okay. Have you got any clues? It's to see the memory from the past coming to the present. This is the mind roaming through the field of time, isn't it? We're going back to the past. We're coming to the present. And just because we're in the present doesn't mean we don't cling. Okay, so this is the key, non-clinging. How can you be with a lover without clinging to the past or without imposing the past on the present?
I ask you a question.
Okay.
I know you ask the question, but I always put it back to you.
Mm.
It's your wisdom, it's your understanding.
I try to speak it.
Yes.
With the person.
Yes, communicate.
But.
But?
I felt that I spoke too soon.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not safety.
Wasn't
know.
Received well?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because sexual energy for a lot of people is so delicate issue.
Yes.
And
indeed.
The other person is
vulnerable.
Vulnerable,
yeah.
and it's meeting like ping pong, and
yes,
who is have the big problem, and like this, and but I want to take it back to here.
Yes, okay.
Not the another one. It will come, but innerly, I feel that I cannot enter this when it.
So you feel,
yeah.
Am I correct in
yeah.
assuming that you feel you cannot enter into a new relationship until there's some resolution of the past?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. The Dharma method is to sit. We allow the memories to come from the past. They come anyway, whether we allow them or not. And then to let the feelings that we experience, the thoughts, the memories, flood through the body and the mind, and we are with them. And you tell me how you have to be with them. How are we with these feelings? feelings and thoughts and memories.
Okay, it was last night, so
yeah.
I was awake when everybody sleep.
Yes.
Be here.
Yes. And how do you need to really be with this situation?
Not eating anything in this situation, not go to sleep, and just be with comfortable area, and just be aware of what's happening in my body, in my mind,
yes,
in the feeling,
yes,
recognize this, appreciate this,
yes.
Holding this, but this is so difficult. Say it, but it's difficult.
Yes. So your heart has the capacity to embrace all pain, all sorrow, as well as all love, all release, and all joy.
What I experienced last night, that after I sit with this,
yes,
and I walk with this, and then,
yes,
my heart asked for forgiveness.
Ah.
About all the people that I have interaction with them.
Yes.
And I cause harm. It's not personal, but I felt they hurt the old people, like, was here. Who pain me and what I have done because all my...
Okay, so slowly. The memories from the past came.
Yeah.
And there was a sense of needing to forgive not only other people, but also yourself, and any actions that you have ever done to cause harm.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. This is the heart of forgiveness. Is there any part of you now that still requires forgiveness?
It's like I will say after tomorrow, after the team, I go just took something, and
yes,
then you came to me and you put your hand here,
yes,
and you say something. I don't remember clue what you say, but it's was so warm and nice, and when I go to sleep, I felt that I someone like really deeply appreciate me and love.
I remember.
It was painful.
I remember what I said. I said, you are beautiful. Because you had shared so deeply in the staff meeting. So I saw your beauty, your deep inner beauty, as well as your external beauty. I saw your heart, and that's what I said. And so part of the healing is to allow yourself to be loved, to receive love, not only from yourself but others. So, my dear, take a look out there and let yourself receive love. Really receive it. Because I think you've spoken for many this evening. And sometimes it's painful to allow ourselves to be loved because we think somehow we don't deserve it.
Thank you.
sitting quietly for a couple of minutes.
It's actually a couple of questions, but they're related.
Yes.
So when the Buddha was on his quest for end of suffering, right?
Yes. For the end of suffering, he said.
Yes, am I correct?
Mm-hmm.
So he kept on going from venture to venture. Like it wasn't an easy journey, right?
No.
Right.
He tried many different practices.
Mm. And he was determined.
Yes.
Right. So the question is, and I know it's a little bit perhaps odd question, but wasn't he clinging to find the end of suffering?
Oh, okay. So is the desire for freedom problematic, is the question.
And that's the next question is related to that.
Okay. What would be your idea about this? Is the desire to be free, the desire for liberation problematic?
It's a precious desire.
Yes. Yes, and
still,
it's a great yearning of the heart. And the Buddha said, the Buddha went in search of that which was not subject to birth, aging, pain and death. This was his search. And he explored all different types of meditations and ascetic practices, some of which were really tough and involved lots of fasting, until he almost died.
Yes.
And then, yes. So.
You're asking me?
Yeah, I'm saying, do you think that yearning of the heart is problematic?
I think it's subtle.
Yes, yes.
Really subtle.
Yes.
And this has to do with what you were, the attachment you were talking about.
Yes. Yes,
so
good point. Yes?
To my view, it's like a wise attachment, so to speak.
A what attachment?
Wise attachment.
A wise attachment, okay. Okay.
Like a baby who clings to his mom boobs, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's wise, he wants
yes.
to live.
Yes, yes. Good image. Indeed. Indeed.
But
so
but
it's a wise
it's a clinging
attachment.
In its essence.
Okay, what would the clinging be? What's, if I'm going in search of freedom, in search of something that I don't have, what's the belief that's associated with that?
So that's I think that's really hitting it on the nail.
Yes, the belief
because
is what?
Because when you truly believe you're looking for freedom.
Yes.
So it's sacred.
Yes.
It's wise effort. It's well worth it.
Yes, yes.
However,
yes.
Often us, myself,
yes.
in life,
yes.
we don't really distinguish what's, you know, we are on some goal to achieve something in this achievement world, right?
Yeah, yeah. We think we can attain
and
something.
Yes, and it looks well worth it to fight about it and
mm-hmm.
turn every stone and whatever.
Oh, yes, please do. Okay.
But then it might be just another attachment.
Okay. If we were going in search of freedom, what would our associated belief be?
That it's possible.
Yes, that it's possible. What else?
It's available.
Yes. What else?
There is such thing.
Yes. And what else?
It will, I guess, bring to life some quality which is not at the moment.
Beautiful. It's the Dharma talk coming. Yes, it would bring to life some quality that isn't already there.
Yes.
In other words, the assumption is that I'm going in search of freedom because I am not free right now.
Yes. But that's the part which I struggle.
I know.
Because it can be deceiving.
Yes.
Right?
Say more.
For many years,
yeah.
I thought money is freedom.
Yes.
Or material stuff, okay?
Yes.
And it looks very, I don't know, because it's so normative and
it's a certain kind of freedom, but it's not the freedom the Buddha was talking about.
I know. That's the point of trying to get it.
Yes.
So you have to be clear what is the freedom about.
Exactly. So, given that, do you think that if one goes in search of freedom, is it a problematic desire or not?
It's not.
Okay.
When it's, I guess, there is clarity.
Yes. When there's clear seeing, it's
from the heart.
Not be.
And it's not from greed or aversion, right?
Yes.
Or delusion.
Mm-hmm.
But we're all contained by that, by from our very nature.
Mm.
This is where it's tricky.
Indeed.
So I might tell you a whole lot of stuff which looks freedom, but it's not.
Okay.
You know, like,
how would you know authentic, genuine liberation?
I think that's part of the path.
Yes.
To discover it.
Yes.
For me, that was essential to be clear. What is it that I'm after?
Yes. So, do you have any thoughts about this or any realizations?
It's essentially my own limitations, like my own hindrances, my own fears, anxieties, insecurities, which I want to be free of.
Oh, okay, so you see
beliefs.
That there's certain beliefs and anxieties and hindrances that come up that tend to obscure the freedom you're looking for.
If I could live in them with peace.
Yes.
Then that would be definitely one step forward to liberation.
Okay. So, just coming back to this notion of desire. Desire, as it's used in the Buddha Dharma, is always used in a way that's problematic.
Mm.
It's problematic because when desire is strong, it involves clinging. And the desire for liberation, the desire for freedom, actually still is a desire, but it's the last desire to go. And that movement towards truth, or that quest to know the sacred here and now, is a beautiful movement of the heart. And all of you know and understand something about that, or you never would have come to a retreat. It's about getting to know oneself. It's about getting to know how to live in this world, which is truly difficult. And it's about finding a way that is really unshakably free.
Mm.
You said you had another question.
Yes, it's kind of follow up. So, my experience of,
yes,
of this quest for freedom,
yes,
has shown me that the cost of this freedom,
yes,
which is precious,
yes,
is a lot of insecurity.
Ah, the cost is a lot of insecurity.
Yes, it's entwined, you know.
How come? Because you've had to give up what you've formerly seen as secure?
Perhaps, yes.
Okay. What else?
It's like, okay, I know it's not about not planning the future, right?
Yes.
This is not the point.
Yes.
But in a way, it feels like your focus on creating presence.
Yes.
And not worrying too much about how will I do in the future.
Yes.
And that creates insecurity. Yeah, I have to live with this insecurity.
Okay.
Like a trade-off kind of thing. Maybe I'm missing out on something.
Okay. The Buddha did have a very profound teaching about security. What do you think is the only security there is? Not found in the world of money. The stock exchange could crash any day.
Mm-hmm.
It's not found in the world of things. There can be, you know, an earthquake or whatever. It's not found in the objects of the world because they're all shifting and changing, and all that's born dies, including us.
I found that, for instance, finding peace of mind,
yes,
is invaluable.
Ah, peace of mind! Yay!
Yes, I know.
Okay, well done! Well done! We've met before, you see. Okay, so tell me, what brought you to peace of mind? What happened? Microphone?
Yes. It's, I don't know if it was a specific thing that happened. It,
yes,
was a lot of intention to get there.
Yes.
And following the...
The teachings.
The teaching, yes, exactly.
And
trusting the teaching. Actually.
Trusting the
teaching.
That
was a big step.
Yes. So trusting the teachings and a lot of practice brings a very natural fruit, which is peace of mind.
And well-being.
And well-being. Okay. Is this not some kind of security?
It's the fruit. And
it's
fruit? Security.
Yes.
I was just saying that. And I know it's not like an accurate description.
Yes.
But it's a kind of feeling, right? That,
yes. Yes.
That this insecurity will never leave you. It kind of goes hand by hand.
Ah, stop there. That is a view that this insecurity will never leave me. The Buddha spoke about the unborn supreme security. Any idea what that might be?
I think last time I was here, you said it was the deathless.
Oh.
And
the deathless is what?
It's beyond any time.
The deathless is liberation through non-clinging.
Yes.
Freedom through non-clinging. So our only security is discovered and found when we no longer cling anywhere. And
that's, you know, when we started this chat,
yes,
this talk, sorry.
Yes.
think you kind of agree that there is a certain level of wise attachment. Like the identification that you mentioned in your talk, which causes us so much suffering, and I completely agree. Still, a certain level of identification is useful.
When did I say that?
No, I say that.
Oh, right. Wow, right.
To get by, to... I mean, even you as a 26 years clinical psychologist, most of the education, as far as I understand, in traditional psychology is all about self.
It's completely different language, but it's about forming a cohesive sense of one's inner world.
Right. So that means that there is some practicality in having oneself.
That is also a view. That is also a view. Okay, so steady with the view about the Dharma. Okay, let's come back to your understanding of peace.
Okay.
What needs to cease in order for there to be peace?
Worry.
Yeah, what else? Worry, he said.
Worry. Not being present.
What needs to cease?
Yes.
Worry.
Expectation.
Clinging.
Yes, obviously clinging. Yeah. But it's such a.
Yes.
Why in the?
Yes, I know.
You know. It's
okay, so.
For a lot of us, it's not that simple to know what it means, right? Clinging, whoa, it's everything.
Okay.
From the
so
day from day one, we cling to survive.
Yes.
And then the Buddha comes and tells us, forget about it. It's right. It's not simple, but we know when we practice that it works. We say okay, we'll give it a chance.
Okay. All right.
And we do.
Yes.
But then you keep saying, go the whole way, all the way.
Yep.
And that's quite big.
Okay.
Isn't it?
You've gotten to, you dropped worry, except for worrying about going all the way. Yes?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay. How about you let go of your worry about what would happen if you let go of everything?
I think that, come to think of it, it's not even me making those decisions.
Yes.
Like, I'm telling you, worry, anxiety, things like that.
Yes.
Have I invited them? No.
Yeah, okay.
They are here, right?
Yes.
That's what I mean, that freedom which tastes beautiful.
Yes.
Still comes hand in hand with this feeling of insecurity.
All right. So, who is it who's feeling insecure?
Me. Eh, well.
Yeah, me. Okay.
The self.
Were you at the Dharma talk this afternoon? Peace comes with the cessation of clinging to me.
Yeah.
And if there's insecurity, it means there's still clinging to me and mine.
Yeah.
It could be, of course, that, as you've said, a substantial amount of the worry and anxiety has decreased, giving you some peace, momentary peace. But then the I comes back in again.
Yes.
With what about the future?
Yes, exactly.
And what if I let go of everything? Okay, this is the I thought landing in the world of, the I lands in the world of thought and says, what about the future? I am still insecure. The Buddha says, the only security is found in that which is revealed by non-clinging.
Mm.
So the recipe is one of non-clinging. And then we see.
Mm.
And sometimes it's a gradual process. you don't quite even realize how much your life has freed up.
Yes.
And it takes more and more attention. And so every time the I pops its head up and says, what about the future? I'm so insecure. We need to go, oh, there's that again. There I go worrying again. There I go being caught up in myself again. This is the practice. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Like to offer a short reflection. With the first rather beautiful inquiry, we heard how to work with difficulty, how to work with trauma. We work with it by being with the sensations in the body, by being with the thoughts and the feelings, but in a particular way. We work with it by being loving, caring. So we pay attention lovingly, and we do so courageously, being prepared to sit until the sensations subside. And then when we listen inwardly, we might hear that there's some forgiveness that needs to take place. We might feel, we don't have to, but we may feel forgiveness of another. But sometimes, most importantly, there needs to be forgiveness and love for oneself. And this often requires letting love in, receiving love. And when there's been some kind of violation in the past, some difficulty, it's all the more important to approach it incredibly compassionately. And we are truly privileged to have somebody come and sit up here and be prepared to speak about this process. Because it's not easy, but it is incredibly important. And our relationships with our lovers, with our friends, with our family, with ourselves, need to be free from the past. free from the burden of the past. And love itself is the great healer. So if you are in a situation like this, I would urge great kindness, great love, great care. And then there's the wonderful possibility of a great transformation that can take place and much more ease in everyday relationships, and especially in terms of the relationship with oneself. And the second question was about desire. Desires are problematic when we go in blind pursuit of something, and that pursuit leads to harm to oneself or another. We can want something without it being a problematic desire in Dharma language. Like, I can want to clean my teeth. It's no big deal. It is not an issue. So if we want to come to a retreat and sit, that is not a problematic desire. It's a wise action. So we have to be careful about the way we use the word desire. Yet, even so, as was pointed out, desire can be incredibly subtle. And so, yes, even the desire for liberation can be held onto. The sense of self can wrap itself around that. And when we go in search of freedom, the underlying assumption is that we're not free already, or we can't know freedom now, that it's somewhere in the future or out there, or it's not accessible. So we have to be really careful. It's subtle and tricky. In terms of security and insecurity, all conditioned things are impermanent. They're shifting, they're changing. Yet, there is that which is not of conditions. Conditions in Dharma language are the body and how it is a condition, a feeling is a condition, a thought is a condition, the weather's a condition, we're sitting in the hall on a retreat, that's a condition. So that's what Dharma language means. It also means our conditioning based on the past. However we were brought up, the culture we were brought up in will affect our views and opinions. This is our conditioning. All conditioned things are impermanent. This is a characteristic of existence. However, the Buddha's teachings go even deeper than this. And the Buddha pointed to the unborn supreme security. And this he called the deathless teaching, the teaching of liberation through non-clinging. And we can directly know this. We can know that which is unending and unborn. It's the self that is born over and over again. It's the moment that's born. It's everything that's caught in time that's born. Yet there is that which is unborn and unconditioned. This is the Dharma teaching. And if you didn't understand a word of that, it's the first night of the retreat, or first full day of the retreat, so please do not worry. But because there is the unconditioned, we can know freedom from the conditioned. Thank you. thank you, each of you, for listening, for your attention, and many thanks to the two who came and spoke. There's now, I've gone a little over time as usual with the inquiry. So if we have a 15-minute walking period, followed by a 20-minute, what will it be? Will it be a guided Toma's going to lead the evening program. Is it a guided metta or a guided?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Toma will lead you at 20 minutes to 9 in a short guided meditation here in the hall. Please come. Thank you very much for your attention. It's now walking meditation. We'll have a bell in 15 or 20 minutes and just come back into the hall.